Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Sophie Ridge began the morning with a wide-ranging interview with Tony Blair. The conversation inevitably turned to Brexit, a subject which the former Prime Minister has long refused to take lying down. In particular, Blair stressed the importance of avoiding a no-deal scenario.
If we have a no-deal Brexit, no one could responsibly propose this. It would be economically very, very dangerous for Britain and for the peace process in Ireland. It would potentially be devastating. You would have a hard border, very hard border. A no-deal Brexit means a really hard border between North and South in Ireland. It's contrary to the Good Friday Agreement. And it will cause an enormous fissure within the United Kingdom.
What would the impact of that hard border be?
Well, the impact will be that the thing that has been in existence since almost 100 years of the Republic of Ireland's, creation as an independent state, that border that's been open for that length of time, and when Britain and Ireland have always been in the same relationship to Europe as each other, that will end. You'll end up with real problems at the border, huge economic problems south and north, and a very, very bitter atmosphere. No, this nobody responsible could propose a no-deal Brexit. And that's why I think even if there isn't a parliamentary majority at the moment for a particular form of Brexit or indeed for another referendum, there's definitely a parliamentary majority against no-deal. And I really do believe there are people within the cabinet who are sufficiently serious and responsible not to allow that to happen.
Do you think that some politicians are playing fast and loose then with the peace process?
Well, I think they've been playing fast and loose with it from the very beginning. Those people who cheerfully say that you can put the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland in a completely different relationship with Europe in trading terms and it make no difference to the economy of the North of Ireland, I don't know on what basis they possibly say that.
Blair went on to outline the mechanics of how he thought the country could find itself holding a second referendum.
I've never thought that you would get to another referendum going directly to it. You'll get to it when people see what the true Brexit alternatives are. And the truth is, there are two. You can have a soft Brexit, which is really what Jeremy Corbyn's suggesting, or you can have the hard Brexit that Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage and other people want. And what I've really been saying all the way through this process is you've got to decide which of those Brexits you want before you leave. Otherwise, you're going to leave without clarity. And if you leave without clarity, no closure. The argument just goes on. And by then, you'll have left. You'll have paid your money up front. You'll have given up your negotiating leverage. And for the country to do that, as Theresa May wants to do, to leave without knowing what Brexit you get, this would be, in my view, an incredibly foolish thing for the country to do. It's got to know where we're heading before we leave.
I just don't understand how you get to a second referendum, because you can't get to there without the support of the leader of the opposition. I can't see how that happens. And if you look at what he's saying in this letter, our first priority must be a deal that's best for jobs and living standards. And he's talking about the aim of securing a sensible agreement. This does not sound like a man who is about to back a second referendum. That sounds like a man who wants a Brexit deal to pass the House of Commons.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. That is what he wants. OK, supposing Parliament, as it should do, puts before Parliament for a vote the different Brexit options, because you've essentially got two. You've got a soft Brexit option, which is what Jeremy Corbyn's suggesting. That keeps you in a position more or less like Norway is at the moment. Or you have a harder Brexit option. You go out of the trading system of the European Union. You have a free trade agreement like Canada. So you've got soft versus hard. Once you actually get to deciding which of those propositions you want, it's at that point that my suspicion is, ultimately, there'll be no support for either of them, and then you get to another referendum. And you, by the way, you may get to another referendum in order to say to the country, look, now we have a firm Brexit deal. Do you prefer that to staying?
Andrew Marr was joined by the local government secretary, James Brokenshire. Marr was keen to get confirmation on when Parliament would get to vote on Theresa May's latest Brexit deal.
Yeah. We obviously have this week a debate in Parliament, a motion coming down, a substantive motion that the government will put forward. But I think it's also important to stress that the government will commit that if the meaningful vote, in other words, the deal coming back, has not happened by the 27th of February, then we would allow a further motion, votable in Parliament, to take place, to give that sense of assurance as to the process moving forward as well in
and
parallel.
To be absolutely clear, does that mean there will be a meaningful vote this month or not?
Well, what I'm saying is that if the meaningful vote has not happened, so in other words, things have not concluded, then Parliament would have that further opportunity by no later than the 27th of February. And I think that gives that sense of timetable, clarity and purpose on what we're doing with the EU, taking that work forward and our determination to get a deal, but equally knowing that role that Parliament very firmly has.
Mar's next guest was Labour's Deputy Leader Tom Watson. Watson has recently written to Labour's General Secretary, Jenny Formby, asking for the constituency party in Liverpool Wavertree to be suspended after a campaign to deselect the sitting MP, Luciana Berger.
Can I ask you, what do you think is going on in Liverpool Wavertree?
She's been bullied. That motion should never have been moved in a local party. The meeting to hear it should never have been heard. The net effect is there are obviously a small group of members in that area that are trying to drive her out as the MP. And I think that's unacceptable. And Jeremy Corbyn this week, when we met our backbenchers, said on three occasions that these things are not done in his name. And I repeat that again. Those people who even think they're helping Jeremy Corbyn when they do this kind of stuff are not helping him. They're harming the reputation of the Labour Party. They're creating division. And ultimately, the person who will lose out the most is Jeremy Corbyn, because they'll make it harder for him to be Prime Minister and get the political and economic change we want to see in this country.
See, the local party says we are only doing our job of holding our MP to account. John McDonnell, the shadow chancellor, said on the radio this week, Luciana has been in the media associated with a breakaway party or whatever and hasn't been clear in stating that she rejects my advice to Luciana is just tell people you're not supporting a breakaway party, you're sticking with the Labour Party. She is 8.5 months pregnant. It sounds as if, you know, more pressure is being piled on her right. What's your response to that?
Well, she is being put under pressure. She's been the subject of anti-Semitic death threats. She's been intimidated. She's been bullied. And I don't want any MP or any member of the Labour Party to feel that they're being bullied or driven out. And what has happened to her is completely unacceptable, which is why I called for the local party to be suspended.
And finally, Sophie Ridge asked the Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Liz Truss, about why her Conservative colleague, Christopher Chope, had seen fit to block a private member's bill designed to toughen the laws on female genital mutilation.
You've been speaking out about this on Twitter. What went through your mind when you first saw that that had happened?
Well, I was just absolutely appalled, because we know there has only been one conviction against somebody for female genital mutilation. This is an action that harms the lives of girls. This is happening in our country in the 21st century. I find that appalling. And we need to do much, much more to stop it. And when I see one of my colleagues opposing a measure that could have saved girls' lives, could have saved girls from that horrendous experience, I am absolutely appalled by that.
Are you ashamed to be sitting on the same benches as him?
Well, I'm going to be speaking to him this week. I want to see him change his mind. I want to see the Conservative Party make sure that we show that that is completely unacceptable.
So you say you're going to speak to him this week. What if you ask for a meeting? What are you going to be doing?
Well, I will be looking for him around the Commons, because...
To collar him.
And I think Conservatives do need to put peer pressure on our colleagues who are stopping these types of things happening. I mean, this is a very, very serious issue. It's been a serious issue in this country for some time. Girls' lives are at threat, and that is appalling... that we weren't able to put that legislation through.
Should he have the whip removed?
I know that the government, now the chief whip, has said he is going to find the space to put that through in government time. I think that's very positive. So we will take action against and on this issue.
So should he have the whip removed, do you think?
I want to change his mind. I think the way you win in politics is by bringing people over to your point of view. I don't like the kind of deselection-itis that's going on in the Labour Party. I think it's highly, highly destructive. But I do think we need, as a Conservative Party, to tackle the real issues of modern Britain. And for female genital mutilation to go on, for those girls to be under threat and us not taking action on it, I think is something that isn't acceptable.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Aspinall wallet worth £60. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Aspinall. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join me again next week.